say something so I can check your mic levels real quick?
Okay. Something. I don't know. What do you...
I don't know.
I don't know.
You're always so quiet on this thing.
Because I'm a quiet person.
Project, damn it.
I don't know how to do that.
Oh, God, that was loud.
And that wasn't even me at my loudest.
I know, but...
I'll back off a little.
No. You were fine. Okay. You were fine.
It's fucking Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I hate this week.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Yesterday was the most Monday of Mondays.
It really was. It was a pretty damn Monday day for us too. Oh, Christine's here, guys. And that,
I know.
Isn't that exciting? My God. After skipping out a few weeks, now we get to have her around. And is your ears good on volume now?
Yeah, it's okay. Good.
Cool. Whatever. Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, good night, or whatever. Whatever you're listening to us, welcome to the Anime Versal Reviews podcast, where we are reviewing, and we finally heard it, Sabikui Bisco. There we go.
I kept telling you that. Well, I
don't know for certain anyways, guys. As soon as I can transition over, we are reviewing that.
Yes, we kept having arguments about it, about like us saying it, and then the other person's like, no, you're saying it wrong.
It is a very weird word. Anyways, guys, sponsored by the good folks over at Grow Generation. More on them a little bit later in the episode. LRMonline.com is the website. Genreverse.com also works. And then, of course, the Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from, Google, Spotify, Apple, whatever, and the Genreverse YouTube channel. We're all over everywhere now. Follow, like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. And, I'm Kyle. This is Christine. And that over there is Brian. And welcome back, Christine.
Thanks. It's been hell, but I'm here.
Yeah. I think one week you were actually like really ill, and then last week you were just like dealing with a headache or something like that, and then
It's just like all been like headaches and it's like allergy type things, and it's like it isn't springtime yet, so I'm wondering how hard it's gonna hit me in spring.
Hopefully not too bad. How you doing, Brian?
Tired, man. I'm here.
I hear you. Here to talk about, you know, the third episode of the crazy acid trip mushroom show. But you know, it wouldn't be right to just jump into episode 3, which continues in my mind to be an upward trajectory for the show overall, without kind of getting Christine's thoughts on the, you know, first couple of episodes and what you think of the show so far, your kind of reaction to Sabikui Bisco.
I really like it. The thing is, though, I'm having to watch the episodes twice because it's like, what the hell am I watching? Like, you know, there's just like so much to take in. So, it's been like surprising in a good way and I've been enjoying it. And it continues to surprise me, and I think a cat is getting a hold of something.
Yeah, you keep talking. I'll come right back.
Okay. Yeah. So, we just finished the third episode, and you know, I kind of get that feeling like here we're finally gonna take off and get to enjoy it a little more instead of like still trying to like figure out what's going on, because it's weird. It's like, okay, there's giant hippos and whales flying in the air, and like, it's like, where the hell did the freaking
dinosaurs?
Water come from? Yeah, I know, right? Like, riding on freaking lizards and crabs and talking to crabs, and it's like, I don't know, it was really strange. And then arrows, you know, sprouting up mushrooms of different sizes, and it's like, what the hell is this show? I'm invested, but I'm still confused. So, yeah.
What do you kind of think of your main cast of characters so far? Milo, Bisco, Javi, and
I like
Pabu.
Them. Yeah, I like them a lot. Yeah, they're really cool. At first it was kind of slow, but now I'm starting to feel like I'm getting to know them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Cool.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
Cool, cool. Well, with that, Brian, tell us what you kind of thought of episode three, man.
Yeah, solid. As you said earlier, it's getting better every episode. Like, this episode felt like truly the end of the prologue. Like, now we're going into the actual story. And this episode also sort of gave us some answers. So they actually explained a few things. And now I have a much better understanding of sort of what's going on. There's still major gaps in that understanding, but more so than the last two episodes. So,
yeah.
That's incredibly loud, dog. Our dog is scratching off to the side. So. any day now, Riza? I mean, it's kind of fitting she's in here having the anime name and stuff.
She's
still scratching.
Stop.
I don't hear it now.
God.
Anyways. I kind of completely forgot what point I was going to bounce off of what Brian had just said.
That we're done with the prologue and there's still gaps, but...
Yeah. I like that because kind of like how you pointed out, feels like you're done with the prologue or maybe even act one, kind of depending on how the rest of the pacing of the show goes. But yeah, man, it seems like they just keep giving us enough of each kind of thing that's promised here, you know, an interesting looking show for first episodes, all looks. And then it's like, but we've got a little bit of story. So they start character stuff and they start delving into some of the character stuff in the second episode. And then they're like, oh, by the way, here's more world building. And so this isn't like some amazing breakout thing where we're going to be like, I feel like blown away. And what is with her? I swear she's an indoor dog only. She's clean.
It got really cold there, right? So it's probably
she itchy. Might be dry skin. That's been
killing poor puppy. Me.
Come here. What's the matter, baby?
Yeah, because my skin's been terrible.
Yeah, yeah, poor girl. So I really appreciate that in the show because they pacing has been a really really cool good thing for it. Mm-hmm. Kind of speaking of, you know, good things for the show, what's kind of been like your favorite aspects so far, Christine? Like any scenes, character, or just like
a little thing about it that I like? I don't know.
Sure.
Probably just the fact that they know how to, you know, create mushrooms out of shooting arrows. I just what the fuck is this? And
it's almost hard to even try to find like a
how is that possible?
Not an allegory, but I guess, you know, something that it could relate to.
And that's sort of the cool thing about it, though. That I can't think of anything like it's
just unique.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, what about
the
you,
archery?
This episode and
I've been saying it the last couple episodes. The archery, man. It's done so well. I like that. That's the primary tool that's used for combat and escapes, and you know everything else. And you know, it's the archery.
Yeah, I've really dug that. The other aspects that I've really kind of just really liked is how much this is like. It reminds me of a lot of those '90s and early 2000 shows that we discovered. Trigun, Cowboy Bebop, even Full Metal, those just outrageous moments, reactions, like Bisco at the end when Milo's saying bye to Pau, and he's like getting frustrated on how long it's taken.
Tapping that foot.
Yeah, all of that's just very, very, very anime, and it almost feels like this is... certain aspects, not like the whole purpose of the show is a love letter to anime, but it feels like they're definitely like touching back to big pieces of anime past. And I really dig that. Oh, Brian, what other types of, do you see some of those that I mentioned in this?
Well, it does a good job of, you know, and a lot of anime does this where it doesn't feel dated. If that, like it, like you could take an anime, like you said, Trigun. And yes, there are certain artistic things that are done in anime, and you can sort of spot the decade based on that. But as far as storytelling is concerned, this story could have been told 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and I think it would have worked. I think anime has a unique way of feeling timeless in some ways, being very experimental. This falls in line with all that. You know, I just like being able to tune into something and not being able to necessarily predict exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, or like, you know, when, in like if it's in our world, when this is happening, sometimes that feels good too, because then it's like you go back and you watch, and like let's think of a good example of a show where it's like, I don't even know, like, yeah, like Spider-Man, the old Spider-Man,
Friends. That's yeah, a very
yeah,
dated.
Friends is definitely
yeah,
exactly, you know, and it's kind of like one of those that you can appreciate, you know, where it's like the tech and like the vocabulary of what they're saying is kind of like not dating it anything specific, so it feels good.
Yeah, you could even look at it as potentially neo-futuristic, even potentially, given like the drug synthesis machine and stuff like that. Not every neo-futurist vision needs the Blade Runner treatment, you know. That's not a knock against Blade Runner, Brian. Cool your jets.
I did not take that as a slight.
I know, I'm messing around. But yeah, no. So I like that point, Christine, because you're right. It could feel like, hey, this is recent. This is near future, or even 20 years from now, showing this to someone, they're like, oh, that's like recent history. You know, like when we watch anime that's inspired by, say, the World War II era. So I dig that. I do. I love timelessness. You know, yeah, but Brian's right 100% on things like the art that can give anime away. But overall, this show so far has been pretty solid.
Yep.
So yeah, we're going to talk about a few like story things and character stuff with Jobian, which is the mentor character, after this word from our sponsors over at Grow Generation.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. The Grow Generation commercial team is armed with industry-leading professional consultants. Grow Generation's team will help you fully manage any size or scale project. They offer turnkey facility designs, cultivation room design, and on-site project consultation. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Thank you, Grow Generation, for sponsoring the episode.
You're so weird.
Yes, thank you, guys. Welcome back. Welcome back. Please do check out Grow Generation and link down in the description box and on the website if you're checking us out on lrmonline.com, johniverse.com. So I mentioned some of the stuff about story elements. Brian mentioned, you know, you get a lot of, or not a lot, but you get some answers to some questions. What role do mushrooms play? We learn that mushrooms eat the rust. It's
like absorbing it or something.
Yeah. That it takes time for them to kind of get going, and that mushroom, what, she just rubbing around everything.
Yeah.
Hi, Saris. Mushroom keepers place mushrooms where there is rust, and so people, you know, causality and correlation or whatnot. The old saying, and I dug that. Brian, what were some of the other cool like world or character moments in this that you dug into? So, or well, world first.
So they explain, like you said, they were explaining sort of what how the mushrooms interact with the rust and sort of how all that plays out. But what they haven't explained is why there's such a disconnect between the world and these, you know, this mushroom community. That we don't really know, like why are they completely just don't understand. And then they even said that some of the mushroom keepers or whatever aren't necessarily good, like there's even amongst their ranks that they have different goals and ambitions. And so I the politics of that might be interesting. We'll see. But I was really happy with that, those scenes where they're explaining stuff. I'm like, yeah, fine. You know, you're telling me how certain things work.
And the thing is, like, they don't have, I mean, they have like some announcements for the town, but it's the people aren't as connected as we are today. So with like information spread, like today with what we've got, like with COVID and stuff, where there can be some misinformation and some panic, probably the news of that doesn't travel well, and then it's like better to be safe than sorry. So it's like, okay, mushrooms are bad. Everyone, you're done with them. So you know, that it explains a little bit of that. You know, to me, that makes sense.
And there's the whole like what the governor of Imahama, I think is the name of the place, that prefecture. What is his deal with wanting to get a hold of Bisco before, in the previous episode, he's like, you know, we got to get to him before she does her being, Pau. And then that doesn't happen. And he overhears the watch talking about, Pau, having caught up to Bisco. And he says, well, I guess if she kills him, it'll be okay. But he doesn't want her to hear something from Bisco. So, there might even be a conspiracy of controlling mushrooms as a source of medicine, looking for a cure to make money off of. Like that's something that crossed my mind for Milo's character and his dealings with the governor, is kind of what Brian was getting, what you both have been talking about, is like, what is the whole point of those mushrooms? And I don't know, money and power kind of seems like one of those things. If the governor's going to use Milo's genius or smarts to manufacture a cure of sorts, I don't know. I could see that happening. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, think of the cost of an EpiPen.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, that could be like, oh, a cash cow right here. We can get money from him and all that. So that's a possibility.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, and Brian? What's maybe one of the bigger plots?
Yeah, it definitely seems like there's something with the governor off, you know, and there's a secret of some kind. But like you're pointing, I just don't know what it could really be outside of maybe money and control. You know, is there a grander scheme? Maybe, I don't know. Another sidebar: they still haven't explained the creatures. Is that a result of the rusting? There are these big ass creatures all over the place. I'm just curious was their world just had that, or is that a new thing?
Yeah, the what we thought was a giant crab. Yeah. And if you watch the after credit scenes, it seems, seems like Aka Gara or Gaka. Yeah, goddamn adamantoids. Yeah. Yeah, so I like that, and in this the one character that gets a lot more like two characters get a lot more depth here, and it's Bisco and Jobby, and Jobby helps build Bisco up through his own dialogue with Dr. Panda. I like the old kook, man. He's funny. He's dry sense of he's everything you expect in the old mentor,
like his
anime character. Yeah, yeah, love his hat. dude looks badass in that hat. Can I have that hat, Christine?
I don't think you can pull it off. I'm sorry.
I don't think I could either. No.
No, hats aren't really, well, baseball caps. That's it. Yeah. Although you did have to wear a beret for many years.
You know, funny story. Talk about sidebars. Yeah, I ever tell you the time I got in trouble for making fun of the French military?
Oh, God.
Officially in trouble?
Oh, yeah. I got hit like, not written up, but my NCOs were in my ass talking like, you really upset the French. So let me mark this dead down. Where I'm at on this time, but
you were always causing trouble.
We're in Hohenfels, Germany, at JMTTC training up before we were going to go to on my second deployment, my first trip to Afghanistan. And then we also did some time in Kuwait on that one because my platoon decided they wanted to try to be heroin dealers. But anyways, I wasn't involved in that. I was at a different base. I wasn't on Phoenix. I was at the Alamo. Anyways, training up. The French were there. It's joint military training center, I think is what joint multinational training center. And there's French people there, and they've got berets on, but these fucking goddamn berets aren't formed, and they're the size of a fucking medium pizza on top of their head, and it's all flat and sticking out, and I just start cracking off French jokes. Like the one about the awesome new tank they have that does one speed forward, five in reverse, or how they redesigned their national flag so that the red and blue stripes are on Velcro. It's easier to surrender that way. And I'm just going off, and apparently some heard and were, you know, capable of understanding English through the fucking awful hats they have on. And so, yeah, I got hemmed up for making fun of the French military.
You're such an ass before. What? You're a little more mellow these days, but yeah, like, just a little bit, but yeah.
Oh, man. Anyways, where were we at? And I have no idea how Brian's reacts. He's
probably
you'll see.
Stare like, I can't believe they told this story. I'm gonna like.
You lost your French audience, man.
I did. I lost all of our French audience.
Hey, look, there are many different militaries out there that have like terrible,
oh God, yeah,
terrible uniforms, and we're marching, guilty of it too.
Terrible marching styles, and oh
yeah, there's
God.
Hey, we're guilty of it too, so don't feel
true.
Too bad.
Yeah, I hate pomp and circumstance. I'm like, I don't need to look good to do construction, deconstruction, or kill people. Like I don't. I'm a dirty engineer. I don't need to look good doing it. Anyways, so yeah, Jobby gets to build up the Bisco character quite a bit, and I like it. I don't know, Christine, you don't have as many you don't watch as many shonen shows as we do, or as many of the like shows that usually have an old mentor guy, but how you kind of digging Jobby?
I think he's cool. There's some, well, I can think of one right now. I mean, I'd have to like go through the list of anime that I've watched, but yeah, there's some old people in anime that they just, you know, they're just excellent characters, and Jobby's one of them. So
yeah, Brian, you and I have watched plenty of these types of shows. Have we seen the last of him, or does he show up in Act 3?
Yeah, I think, yeah, of course. No return. Yeah, and the
does he survive to the end?
Now
that's the question.
That is the question, because well, he sort of gave a time limit in this episode. He said he has about a month, and so we know it's moving into his lungs from the last episode. So yeah, that's a good question. Is, you know, clearly they have a goal. Panda knows because he was there when he talked about how long he had. So yeah, it's going to be interesting if that, how much of a role that plays into it. And his sister, even though he's got some treatment for her, she still has it going towards her heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here's the last thing. I mean, you know, he builds up Bisco in the sense of giving us, you know, hey, mentor, mentee, what mushroom keepers do. We learned a little bit about Bisco in the previous episode, and it's Bisco's like reaction to, dude, you were on death's door. I thought I had said my last words to you. You get a good sense that this guy, and also when he Bisco when he's like trying to explain to the gatekeepers at the West Gate, I think it was, you know, hey, take care of this mushroom, it will get rid of the rust in time. dude doesn't want to be an asshole. He even gets tired of, he tells Pablo, I'm tired of saying this to people. They're not bad. We're not bad. I want to help.
Yeah. So. He's just a rough character. He just, you know, has like one of those personalities. He's a good person, but he's a bit of a dick, you know, so yeah.
Man after my own. not 100% a dick, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, I guess that kind of wraps up this episode as far as things that I had planned on saying, Christine.
There was one thing that we hadn't mentioned, and we didn't really see much of them this time around, but the people in the bunny
hats. Oh, yeah, the bunny hats.
Yeah, like just, private military. So crazy and hilarious, but yet like has that seriousness as well, and it's just like you see it and you're just like, what the hell is this? And then like this third episode, I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm still not understanding why bunnies, you know? And it's like
to make you ask why bunnies. Yeah.
The answer is anime.
Scare me.
Anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This definitely belongs in that only in anime section. Along with Shimonetta, panty and stocking. what else is only in anime? I don't know, man.
There's so many.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Love it. Brian, any alibis?
No, that was about it.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Anime Versal Reviews podcast. Please do check out LRMonline.com, genreverse.com as well every day for all your entertainment news needs and opinions. Follow us on Twitter at @LRM_exclusive, at the genreverse. That's the word genre and then the word verse, like multiverse, but genres, haha, get it, wink wink, nudge nudge, say no more. Points if you get the reference, message me or some shit, comment below. And then of course the Genreverse podcast network, wherever you get your podcast from, Google, Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud is what, I don't know. Anyways, and then the YouTube channel. Subscribe to that. Help us grow. Share us with some friends and family. Leave comments and reviews and whatnot. And yeah. Christine, anything you want to plug or say?
We're going to be having the No Mercy podcast last episode for season 4. Mm-hmm. I'm a little sad. So
it was a good season ending though.
Yeah.
It was tense, man. Brian, you need to watch some Cobra Kai.
Yeah, that'll be coming soon.
Well, they said 5's coming this year. Yep. Yeah, so you know.
Yeah. And then, so that means I don't have to wait too long. But yeah, it's always sad because I love No Mercy podcast, so it's fun to talk about.
And yeah. Brian does something else on YouTube. Brian, you want to chit-chat about it for a second?
Yeah, I'm on.
1001, you're done. Anyways, go.
The channel's Pulp Mythos, and Raised by Wolves is coming up, and I will be talking about that every week. So,
cool.
Oh man, that's a second season, right?
Yes.
Or third? Second. It's been a couple of years. It took them a bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's
plague got in the way.
There's a lot of delays, but there's a lot of effects.
My dark humor showing. Go ahead, well, Brian. It's a lot of effects.
Effects heavy. So
yeah. Mm. I can see that. All right, guys, that's it for me. Take it easy. Talk to you next time.